Hey, what I want to talk to you about at the beginning of Advent season is the word contentment. I don't know if you know what that means, but it is the joy, the peace, that satisfaction that we can experience in our lives. I know some of you today on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being really down in the dumps and just not very content with life. And there are some of us here this morning that, well, I don't know how many of us, but we take kind of the attitude of, oh man, life is just pie in the sky by and by. It's even steak on the plate while you wait. But all of us, if we had a gauge on our chest, and we could watch that arrow going back and forth and back and forth, where would we lie on that contentment stage? Would we go more towards the full side where we're feeling content, we're feeling the contentment of being God's child walking on this earth, or is our lives feeling kind of empty today? I don't know of too many people who over the last 2 years would say that they would really have a full heart of contentment. I mean, I think about my own life. I think about the fact that we've come through COVID and all of the struggles that came with that. People that we know loved died. We know people that have, over the last couple of years in our own lives, beyond the COVID situation, have been touched by death and illness and disappointment. Our joy and peace has been rapidly burning out in our lives. And I have to be honest with you, over the last couple of years, the gauge in my heart is going ever so quickly, it seems, towards E. Like I said, we've had COVID. My dad got sick. I had some contentiousness over at Dillsburg. And if I can be honest with you, there's been times over the last couple of years where my joy has been lacking. My peace has been lacking. And I have felt a lot of discontentment. I have found myself saying at times, this isn't fun anymore, is it, dear? It isn't fun anymore. I love ministry. I have enjoyed doing it, but it's just seemed at times like I've just been depleted and feeling empty. And that's all I could say, just not fun anymore. But then one day I began to read a passage. I've read it 100 times. I've studied it numerous times. But as I read it, it stood out to me. It was, if you will, life-giving, hope-giving, joy-giving. The passage is found in Philippians chapter 4. The letter, the book of Philippians, has been titled by scholars the book or the letter of joy. It is written out of a circumstance where Paul, you remember Paul, the Christian hater, the turned Christian maker, the turned church planter, one of the most influential humans in history. He's writing from a prison to a church that he is truly grateful for. In chapter 1, he writes about his thankfulness for them as partners with him in the gospel. In chapter 2, he writes about how they ought to emulate the humility of Jesus, serving one another and putting others before themselves. In chapter 3, he talks about the wonder of knowing Jesus, not just the performing good task or good deeds so Jesus will like you. And then in chapter 4, he addresses this whole issue of contentment. He's writing from a situation where you could see he was not content, but he writes with an attitude that communicates he has a level of contentment far exceeding what you would think that he would have while in prison. In chapter 4, we see the secret of contentment. And what I'd like to do this morning is talk to you a little bit about when our circumstances are down here, how do we live up here? How do we move towards filling our tank that we might live life every day with thankfulness and gratitude? You see, Advent is a season where we want to rush off into everything, get the packages, get the church, get the this, get the that ready. But part of living through Advent is slowing down and realizing what it is that we have and where it is that we're trying to go as we go on this journey. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by and with, present your to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying, are you feeling discontent this morning? Are you lacking peace? Is your joy being undermined? Do you lack general satisfaction in life right now, right where you're at? He's saying, you want to have contentment? You want to maintain contentment in your lives. He says it starts with rejoicing. And again, I say, rejoice. The idea of to delight in, to give thanks, to praise God for who He is and what He's done. He says, you want to live a life of contentment. This is where the journey starts. You begin to give thanks. You want hope, you want joy, you want peace back in your life. It starts right here, taking time to rejoice. He says it twice in this little passage of Scripture, which is a technique used by the writer of Philippians, Paul, for emphasis. He's emphasizing, he said, you've got to just rejoice. You've got to take the time, find the things around you that you can rejoice in. Of course, you can still come to God in prayer. You can request to God to do things, but you do it with a sense of thanksgiving. The gateway to contentment in our lives, you want to be content. The gateway to that is gratitude. If you're lacking in peace or joy or contentment in your work relationships, in your mental or spiritual health, Paul is saying gratitude is the gateway. It's not the accumulation of things. Accumulation of stuff will not produce the contentment in your life that you think it will. Appreciation produces gratitude and commitment in your life. So start, Paul says, with thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I look at that and I think, I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, Paul, how is that? How is it that when I feel depleted, how do I come to God rejoicing when I don't feel like rejoicing? When I feel empty or lost? Well, Paul actually tells us how to cultivate gratitude in our lives. He says we start with thanksgiving because it is the gateway. But then he continues by saying, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. We're going to stop for a minute. This is free, okay? This is over and above. That little phrase, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, whatever is praiseworthy or excellent, that really is the prescription for good mental health. You get your mind on those things instead of all the other things that you could choose to focus on. If you choose those things, that is an excellent start to working towards mental health. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, he says, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. He's saying, be thankful. Thankful is not a feeling. Thankful or being gracious or having an attitude of gratitude is a choice. It is a habit we form, a skill we learn, a practice we must have. It doesn't come naturally. Now, I want you to think back to a time when you had a little kid in your house. You got that now, okay? You've got that now. You kind of have it now. It takes skill and practice, and it takes making it a habit to identify these things. Think about it. You need to teach your kids to say thank you, right? You need to say, now what do you say? But you don't need to teach your kids to say gimme. They know that one. Yeah. You see, it's not natural for us to live with gratitude. It's more of, I want more. I need more. Give me more. Me, me, me. It takes skill. It's something we have to learn and practice. I want to take and find things in my life that are good and true and lovely and pure and excellent and praiseworthy and give thanks. But it just doesn't happen. It is a habit. It's something we have to focus on. We must choose. It isn't a demeanor. It is a decision, a choice to shift our focus towards some things and some people that we are truly grateful for and choose to take the time and give thanks. Paul said it is a practice, a skill to be learned, a focus to set. A way to do this is find 10 minutes in your day when you have a few quiet minutes. Maybe it's the first thing when you get up in the morning. Maybe it's sometime during the day when you have 10, 15 minutes alone. Maybe it's when you get in bed at night and everything is kind of calming down for the day. You need to take 15 minutes and think about it. And come up with some things that are good and true and lovely, pure and excellent and praiseworthy. Sometimes it may take 15 minutes just to think of one thing because your mind is racing so fast, worrying about life. But just to pause and to find one thing. Other times you may begin to lay down, you may find some quiet time, and all of those things will just flood your mind. But it doesn't come naturally. It is a practice to be learned, a focus that needs to be set. And as you do it, it generates in your mind more things to be thankful for. More things. Maybe you can only start with 5 minutes a day, but take 5 minutes. Make it a habit. As parents, do this with your kids. When you're putting them down at night, ask them, hey, think about 3 things that you're thankful to God for today. And you know what? They will begin to think about those things, and then they will turn it back on. Hey, Mom, I told you 3 things. What's one thing you're thankful for? You know what? As they begin to ask you that same question, you will have to think more and more intentionally about the things that God has given you. Maybe just trying to think of 1 or 2 things each and every day to truly be thankful for. And Paul says, this habit of gratitude, this skill of thanksgiving, Paul says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, and the God of peace will be with you. You will experience greater peace and joy because the gateway of contentment is now opening up to you. I mean, think about it. Think about your typical day. When you get up and you get started, and what's the things that come to your mind? Yeah, let's be honest. There's a lot of griping. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, they ate all of my favorite cereal. Oh, I got to get in the car and I'm worried it won't start. Oh, I've got this person to worry about and that thing to do. Oh, but you know what? If we take the mindset that God loves us, that He has provided a world for us to live in, He's provided for us far more abundantly than many people in this world. He has given us strength to get through some of the difficult situations in our lives. Begins to affect how we think about things and how we see God and how we see the world around us. Paul adds a PS in this section. He talks about perspective shifts. When we start to give God thanks, when we start to see God at work in our lives, it changes the perspective on how we look at things. It's no longer, oh, I got to go to the hospital to go and visit somebody. Begins to look at it from a different perspective. Hey, you know what? I can impact this person today in a positive way. I can show them the love of Christ. I can be patient with them when they're dealing in their struggles, and I can let them know that God cares about them. And you can begin to change your perspective on how you look at situations. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever my circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. But you know what? I've learned the secret of contentment, that in any situation, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is saying, I have developed a posture of gratitude as I have intentionally thought and identified things in my life. I've learned this skill to spot everything and to look at it. Even from the prison cell that I am sitting in, I have learned to look at life from a different perspective. I've learned the skill to spot everything that I'm grateful for. I have learned every season has a reason to be grateful. In every circumstance, there's something for us to be thankful for. And I have developed that muscle, even when I'm slighted, to turn it into praise. He goes on, yet it's good to share. It's good that you shared in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. Not that I desired your gifts, but what I desire is that more is credited to your account. And then he goes on and he talks some more, but I want to just show you a little illustration this morning. Notice I picked the most stained cloth I could find. What is that? Milk, good, very good. Milk, okay. Doris, I'm not going to spill this. Can't let good milk go to waste. That's your life. Oh, now I got your attention. Guess what we're going to make? Okay. What? Okay. That's joy, peace, contentment. All that stuff kind of sits down at the bottom of our lives. This is third grade chocolate milk, okay? This is what a third grader would do. But you know, joy and peace and contentment, a lot of times they just get pushed down in our lives and they congeal down there and there's not much hope. But what gratitude does is it gets in there and it begins to stir our lives. The hope, the joy, the peace kind of begins to intermix and we can begin to see more of it in our lives. And we begin to see life from a different perspective. It's looking pretty good now, isn't it? Good thing the kids aren't here. Good. That's what God wants for your life. Not to drink chocolate milk, but he wants you to slow down and to realize what you have and how good it is. We're into this season of Advent. a time where we're supposed to rejoice, but we're supposed to wait. We're supposed to be open to what God's wanting to do in our lives. We're going to open our... in our hearts to what He's trying to tell us. Because we get so messed up with, I got to do this, I got to do that. And God is saying, slow down. Look at the world around you. And what do you really see? Do you see everybody? Or do you see those places where you can move and be and have an impact for my kingdom and to see my glory? Not your glory, my glory. Get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what Advent's about. Taking time. Tasting all the good that God has for us. And then giving thanks. Let Him open in us up to all the more that He wants to do. Let's pray together. As soon as I get one more sip of my chocolate milk. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Sometimes pretty simple lessons can teach us about how You want to work in our lives. So, Lord, let me just say it this morning. Help each and every one of us as we enter this season of Advent, to not get so caught up in what the world wants to sell us that we forget what You want to give us. And help us, Lord, to be ready to receive and to freely give this holiday season. But Lord, as a practice of life, that, Lord, as people look at us, they might see You and be drawn closer to You because of what You have done for us. We pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and all God's people said,